And welcome to everyone joining us online as well. So thankful to be together as the family of God today, and I hope that you're ready to have a good time looking into the Word of God this morning. If you can open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that is where we're going to be looking today. And today we're not just starting a new series, we're actually introducing to you our annual theme for this year, so we'll be getting into that for just a second. And I hope for all of us that as we gather here, that there is a sense of, like, you know, this being a new season and new things are possible. That there is a sense of new opportunity and that God might even be doing a new thing in our lives. I know some of you, maybe you're starting to hit a little bit of struggle with that. Like, I remember meeting college students arriving on campus like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and they were just like, wow, like, talked to some freshmen, like, man, college is so fun. Like, we just get to hang out with lots of people, and like, we're all like living on top of each other, and there's so much to do around campus and just having a great time. And now you actually have to go to class. Right? And so things have changed a little bit, and you got homework now, and you got quizzes now, and papers now, and exams now, and just different things going on. Some of you are going back to school this fall. For some of us, maybe it's just like, okay, going through just daily working life, family life, things like that. But regardless, I pray that we'll have a sense of anticipation. New things are possible. I mean, you know, Texas almost beat Bama, so like anything seems possible as we start the fall. You know, Michigan's doing well, so I'm praying that as we start off this fall season that we'll have a sense of anticipation and expectation that God is going to do some new things. Will you turn to someone next to you and say, God's going to do a new thing? Amen. As we get started this morning, I want to start actually with something that's a little bit more of a reflective note. While I pray that we would have some excitement and anticipation this morning, I do want to start with a little bit of a reflective story that some of you probably would have heard about a little over a year ago. Back in June 24th of 2021, so a little over a year ago, some of you might have heard of what happened down in Florida with this place called the Surfside Condos. And if you're not familiar with that story, here is this condo building, kind of originally and how it was originally designed and where people were living. And very sadly, on that day at 1:22 in the morning, when everybody was asleep in their beds, a big chunk of that condo building actually collapsed. And you can see here's a picture of it afterwards, just kind of spontaneously collapsed. And you probably heard about this in the news. Very tragic what happened. All those people who were asleep in their beds, 98 people were killed. Only 14 who were in that building were rescued injured out of the rubble. Some others were rescued from a part that didn't collapse, but only 14 survived in that section of the building. And this is, of course, a horrible loss of life and just an incredibly tragic event. And so afterward, people started examining and trying to figure out what happened. Why did this building fall down? And they're still actually trying to work out exactly every detail of it. But it looks like what happened was that there was just this long-term degradation of the reinforced concrete that was supporting the building. It was in the basement level parking garage, kind of underneath this swimming pool area, and some water had infiltrated and gradually broken down the reinforcing steel and concrete. And these problems had actually been reported 3 years prior in 2018. And then just a couple months before this, in April of 2021, it was examined again and found to be much, much worse. And yet people continued to live there and just kind of go on about their lives. Maybe just unaware of the problem, unaware of the issues, of what was happening right underneath them, and unaware of what was going to happen when that foundation finally gave way. And I share this story this morning, partly it's a tragic loss of life and a horrible event. I share this story with us as a means of reflection, because I think that we live in a world right now that has crumbling foundations. And we see that everywhere. We see it everywhere. We see that in the wars and the famine and broken families and political division and prejudice and poverty and all the rest of the ways that the world just seems to be coming apart at the seams, doesn't it? And if you remember last week, I really enjoyed Pastor Josh's message last week. If you weren't here, I would highly recommend going back and listening to that on our website. But if you remember, he invited us at a certain point to kind of look at the world around us and see what was going on, and then to look in the mirror and recognize that what's going on out there is often a reflection of what's going on inside of us right here. And this is what I think God wants to lead us into in this season. As much as we can look at the world around us and see a lot of different issues, a lot of different problems, how are we looking at ourselves in a church, as a church, and how is God seeing us right now, and what does God want us to focus on for this coming year? We try to have an annual theme each year just so that we're not kind of wandering through week to week, not sure what to focus on, but we have this annual theme as a way to bring focus and to bring attention to a specific area that we want to grow in and that we want to pursue and that we want to see God do and pray for and ask for God to work in our church for this year. And our theme for this coming year is going to be foundations. We want to focus in on what it is that we're built upon, what it is that we're standing upon, what it is that we're growing upon, and how it is that God might want to work in that for this coming year. And so I asked you earlier to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 15 of that together, and then we'll dig into God's word and see what he has to speak to us. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. It says this: "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." Let me pray for us as we've read God's word together. Lord, we invite you here to come and meet us and minister to us as we start this new season of our church life, and as many of us go through different changes and new beginnings and transitions. We ask, God, that you would come and meet us here and speak to us powerfully and show us, God, the kind of foundation you want us to have, not only for this year, but for the rest of our lives. And help us, God, together as a church to focus in on the work that you want to do in us this season. So come, bless us here this morning, Lord. Speak to us powerfully through your word and minister to each one of us right where we are. We invite you here, Lord, and we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we dig into this story here, part of what draws me to this passage, and this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, actually, but part of what draws me to this is actually the kind of church that Paul is writing to in this story. And if you're not familiar with the church in Corinth, what we know about this right now is that Paul is writing to this church as kind of a church under a lot of pressure that they are going through. And just to give you a little bit of a brief introduction to this church, Paul had planted the church in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. And so if you want to see a bit of the story of how that unfolded, you can go back and read chapter Acts 18 and see what happened there. But it was a very substantial city, and some big things happened there. Paul built some really deep relationships in this city, including with people like Priscilla and Aquila, who became other significant leaders of the early church. And he stayed there for 18 months. So this wasn't a quick visit in and out of this city. He stayed there for quite a while, long enough to really get to know the people. And this was also a place where he transitioned from primarily preaching to Jewish people in the synagogue. He realized he was being rejected there. And so he said, okay, from now on, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. I'm going to go to the non-Jewish people. And so he left the synagogue. He actually set up shop right next door, I think in some dude's house. And he started preaching the gospel there to people who were not Jewish. And so then he's preaching to people who don't have the background of the Jewish scriptures. They don't know the story of God and how this has been unfolding throughout the history of the Jewish people. They're kind of coming in and having to learn all of this from scratch. And so that really changed a lot for Paul and his ministry. And this was a significant place in that Corinth was this major trade city that was known for immorality, religious diversity, corruption. And think of this as like, you know, really any major city in the world today. It was a similar kind of feel. And so after Paul left, the church became divided by these many influences. Started having lots of issues come in, lots of problems came into the church. And so they sent to Paul and said, hey, can you answer some questions for us? They said, can you let us know, you know, what's the resurrection and how is it going to happen? And what are spiritual gifts and how should we use them? And should we get married or not get married? And should we eat food sacrificed to idols? And they started asking all these questions. And at the same time, you know, Paul responds to this letter and he challenges them to be united in Christ and to trust in the cross as the wisdom and power of God. And then he also starts to address a lot of other things he's heard. Like division in the church, sexual immorality in the church, idolatry in the church, quarreling and factions forming and all this kind of stuff. He writes this letter to address all of these things. And I realized as I read this letter and as I was studying it, that this is a church that felt very relatable because it was under all these pressures. And I realized for us as a church today, we may feel like we're under a lot of pressure too. And it's affecting our faith. I look around at what we've gone through in the last few years. Partly, yes, COVID is a big thing, and it's still affecting things, obviously. And that was a very isolating kind of event in history that made many of us kind of off on our own and feeling a lot of isolation, depression, loneliness. But even bigger than that, some of these things happening in our world, the kind of division of people just not being able to get on the same page with each other, fighting over what is true and right and good. You know, people like just hatred in the world and seeming like things are just falling apart. That all has an effect on us. And I feel it, and I think many of us feel that. And when all these things get kind of thrown into question, and I kind of imagine the church in Corinth, maybe people getting together and starting to fight over, like, well, should we get married or not? Or is it okay to eat this kind of food or not? It's easy then to forget why the church exists to begin with and just get buried under all the pressure and all the conflict and all the uncertainty. That's why I feel like for us today, part of what we need to remember is why we even exist and why we're here to begin with. I shared with our church last year our new vision statement that we want to become a transcultural spiritual family, reaching our neighbors, the nations, and the next generation. And this is something I still deeply believe in and I'm committed to. And I pray if you are part of our church here, if you're checking out our church, if you're wondering what this church is about, I pray that this is something that you could buy into and believe in and want to live out together. But today, we need to reflect on and remember, wait, with everything going on in the world, why is it that we're here? And then what is this going to be built upon? What is it that we're going to be able to stand upon as we try to pursue this vision that God has for our church? And so as we talk about these kind of foundations, let's look a little bit more into this passage and see what's going on. And the first thing I notice in this passage is that this is a church built with relationships. And this is something that I think for many of us, we like seeing and we maybe find very relatable. That's one thing I think has always been a great strength in our church is the kind of relationships that we build. And I think we see that actually reflected in this passage. This is not actually even the main point of what I want to talk about today, but I think it's actually important to still address. Paul's desire was to see the church and its members grow to maturity because he deeply cared about them. Like, you can kind of sense it in his writing of this letter, that these are not people who, you know, he cares for only theoretically or distantly. Like, he knew them, right? He spent a year and a half with them, probably living in their houses and eating meals with them and sharing life with them. And so he knows them and has very deep relationships with them. It feels different than, like, his letter to the Romans, where he'd never been there and never met any of them at all and is much more kind of theological and theoretical in that sense. Here, it's like these are people who he loves, and we see the kind of relationships that he describes here in this passage with three A's that I'll share with you. The first one of those is we see relationships of adoption. And what I mean by that is that, you know, in this passage, Paul says he is addressing them as infants in Christ. These are newborn children born into the faith, and they've been adopted into the family of the church. And so they're adopting these new infants in Christ into the family of the church. And not only that, they're also adopting one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's this deep sense of care and commitment as a spiritual family to love and nurture and build up. Like, think about what you do with a little baby, right? And I know not all of us here have babies. Maybe, like, some of us are parents. Some of you, maybe you have a younger sibling or younger niece, you know, younger cousins or whatever, where you've seen this before. But, like, with a little baby, that baby can't do very much on its own, right? And you don't get upset at a baby for being a baby. Like, you don't get mad when a baby poops its diaper and spits up on you. You're like, well, I guess that comes with being a baby. Like, it's not a big deal. We'll take care of it. We'll clean it up. And Paul is going through the same thing with the church here. He's saying, hey, we got a bunch of infants in Christ running around, a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing yet and maybe making a mess sometimes, and yet nevertheless, we are part of the family of God. We must love each other and be committed to each other with that. And so that's something for us, even as a church. We talk about investing in the next generation, and we must realize that's not going to always be easy. There are going to be times when new people join our church family, when young people are growing up in our church family, and it might get messy, and that's okay. We love each other nevertheless. We're committed to each other nevertheless. We care for each other no matter what it is that we're going through. That's the kind of adoption relationship that we see in this church, even when they're getting into some really nasty stuff. Now, the second thing we see here is relationships that are agricultural in nature. And what do I mean by that? Paul talks about, you know, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. He's saying growth doesn't happen overnight. And it happens through different seasons and even different people coming in and out of our lives and seasons of planting and seasons of watering, and there are dry times and there are fruitful times, and all of that growth and fruitfulness doesn't happen overnight. It requires perseverance and patience and faith and sticking with one another even through the most difficult times. In fact, that's something I would want everyone in this room to know, that for our spiritual family here, for our church, this is a place that is safe for you to struggle in. This is a place that it's safe for you to ask questions in. This is a place where it's okay to go through things and know that people are not going to give up on you just because you're not doing well at the moment. That's what we need to be committed to as we have these kinds of agricultural relationships, that we don't give up on each other just because we're going through a hard time or a difficult season or a time of dryness or weariness or doubt or fear or whatever, that we can still commit to one another through that. And this is the kind of spiritual family that we want to have. And then the third thing that we see here are architectural relationships. And what do I mean by that? I mean, Paul starts to talk about foundation and building and, you know, you are God's building and stuff like that. What's he mean? He is talking about an intentional building up of people to maturity, an intentional growth as disciples of Jesus Christ. And what that means is that while we have this sense of, like, we're adopting each other, caring for each other, loving each other, that while we're walking through different seasons of life and we're even struggling together, going through that as a family, it also means there's a sense of greater purpose to our relationships. We're not here just to kind of hang out and do nice things together, but we're here to actually build each other up as disciples of Jesus. We're here to help each other grow in faith, to help each other live out the things that we're seeing in God's word, that all of that, there's that intentionality behind it where we're not just kind of hanging out here on a Sunday morning or together with our life groups or whatever because we have nothing better to do, but because there's a sense of mission and purpose behind everything that we do. These are the kinds of relationships that we want to build as a church family. And even here this morning, I want to reinforce that. Because I know that, again, for some of us, maybe it's just that kind of coming back out of the pandemic and trying to reemerge into the world and reconnect with people. And maybe you've been part of our church for a long time. For some of you, maybe you're checking out our church right now among other churches, which is great. There are plenty of great churches and ministries around here. We praise God for that. But you're checking things out, wondering, what is this church about? And one of the things that is very important to us is something called life group. because we believe that church is not something just for a Sunday morning for an hour or two where we come in and leave and, you know, just kind of live our own lives separately for the rest of the week. And this is something we want to really encourage you with. If you're checking out our church this morning for the first time, we want you to also sign up for a life group and check that out and see what that's like. Because at least for myself, and I can just share my own experience, when I was a freshman at the University of Michigan, a friend of mine invited me to a life group. And at first, I did not want to go because I did not like Christians. And the things that I'd seen of Christians in my past history were not appealing to me. And I was like, I don't want to be a part of something like that. But my friend convinced me to go. And when I went, I saw people imperfectly trying to live out the kinds of things that we've just talked about here. People just genuinely embracing one another and loving each other. People going through those different seasons with one another. People trying to build each other up as best as they could. That was something so different and so unique than I had ever seen before that it suddenly made the message that I saw in the pages of Scripture become very real. And this is an experience we want all of you to have and something we want all of you to be a part of. And so I want to encourage you with that today. If you haven't signed up for a life group yet, to please check that out. And yet, here, what we must focus on this morning, what we must remember, is that church also is not just about the relationships that we have with one another. In fact, when we're focusing on foundations, the thing that I really want to dig into a bit this morning is that this is not just a church built on relationships, but this is a church built on Christ. And as we look at that, I mean, look in this passage, a key verse that I pray that you would even just memorize, commit to memory this year, is verse 11, where it says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." What does that mean? Why is that so important? What we realize is that when Jesus came into the world, he was the fulfillment of what everybody had been waiting for. Like, think about, and we don't have time to dig into it really, but think about everything that had happened in the story of Scripture before this point. How God had called a people for himself, how he chose a family for himself, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their descendants, the people of Israel, how he had made them his covenant people, revealed himself to them, spoken to them, given a direction and a calling, and how they had been waiting, the prophets prophesying, looking ahead by faith, saying, when is this one going to come? Psalm 118, verse 22, 23 says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." They were waiting for this one who would be the cornerstone, who would be the foundation, waiting for him to arrive. And even when he showed up, many people could not receive him. Many people would not believe in him. And yet, this is the Lord's doing, so that we could then be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And what we need to recognize right now, what we need to focus on this year, is that if we try to build our church community or the kind of relationships that we just talked about without Christ as our foundation, it will all fall apart. It cannot happen. It cannot work. And even when we think about not just our church, but our lives and what that is built upon, we will run into deep trouble if we are trying to build on anything besides Jesus Christ himself. In fact, this is something that Jesus himself talked about again in another set of some of my favorite verses, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' great, great teaching that he gave, it says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And I realized as I've been reflecting on my own life, as I've been reflecting on our church life and praying and asking God, what is it that you want to do in this season? He just kept bringing me to verses like these, to passages like these, to saying, what is it that we're actually building upon? I'm not sure if any of you have had these kind of experiences before, but actually my family and a couple other families from our church, we got to take a little camping trip up to northern Michigan recently, and we had a lot of fun. It was a great time. Got to visit several different places, but one thing that we got to do was my wife had found, I think she searched around like things to do in northern Michigan, and one thing she found was that there was this cool trail that you could hike, and basically you hike this trail for about 3 miles or so, and then it ends up at Lake Michigan. And we're like, oh, that sounds really fun. Like, let's go and do that. And so we went and we found the entrance to this trail, and we started walking on the trail. And at first, this trail was actually really beautiful. And we're like, man, this is going to be amazing. Like, here's a picture of like what this trail looked like at the beginning. It was just like this beautiful trail through the woods. It was all shaded with these beautiful trees, and we're just walking through. And as we're walking along, like the kids are like running and skipping and laughing, and then they would stop and pick a raspberry from the bush next to the path and eat it. And it was just like this utopian kind of feeling. And it was a beautiful day out, and so we're just walking along this path, having a really great time. And then gradually the path started to change, and it kind of opened up a little bit. The trees sort of peeled back from the path, and it became just, you know, still like a nice path, but it was kind of going along. And then we're in the sunshine, and the sun is just beating down on us, right? And you can see the path is kind of going on for a while. We're like, okay, like we'll keep going. This is great. We're following along, and things are good. And so we keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going. And then eventually, the path just kind of disappears, and it starts looking like this. And I remember I'm like walking along with my son Nicholas, and you know, at first we're having a great time, and then eventually like he's like, oh, Dad, how much longer is it? And I see this top of this sand dune coming up. I'm like, Nicholas, we just got to get up there. And so we get up to the top of this dune. It was a long climb. We got up there. We looked around. We took some pictures together and all that. And then Nicholas is like, okay, this is the last one, right? And I'm like, yeah, I think this is the last one. As I looked around, I couldn't see anything else. I was like, I think we're going downhill from here. And so then we walked down that sand dune and kind of around the bend, and then we saw another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And at this point, I'm thankful my son is visually impaired. I'm like, it's just a little while longer. And you know, we kept going, you know, and it just became like so, by the end of it, we were just exhausted. And all the while walking through these sand dunes with just like sun is beating down, sweat pouring down, like kind of miserable for a while, to be honest. Like, in the back of my mind, I'm just singing this song, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is sinking sand." And I'm like experiencing it, you know? It's like, man, this is hard. This is hard work. That hike that was actually 3 miles, I think it felt more like it was like 10 or 12 or something. Like, it just wiped me out by the end of it. And I realized, like, if it's that hard to like just hike through sand like this, then how much harder to build a life? How much harder to build a church? How much harder to live as the family of God? And it made me wonder, is this what some of us are going through right now? Like, I talk with many of you here. I talk with people just around town, around the different places. And I feel like there's just a lot of, you know, a lot of pressure, and a lot of sense of just uncertainty, a lot of anxiety that comes with that, a lot of fear of the future, even a sense of hopelessness, some falling into despair. A lot of people going through really hard things, and there can be a lot of different reasons for that too. Some of us, we've just gone through some difficult experiences, and yes, like that does affect us. But here Jesus says, if you will hear my word, believe it, do it, live by it, then you will be building on the rock. And even when those winds and those waves come, even then you will be able to stand. So right now, do you feel you can stand? Or do you feel like you're sinking? Do you feel like you're just barely getting by, barely able to put one foot in front of the other? And if so, why is that? Why are we going through those things? So here's where, as we kind of go into this year, I want to be able to focus on foundations together as a church. and dig into some of these things. And for some of us, some of these things might even seem very basic. Some of it might seem like, wait, do we even need to talk about that? But we do, because if the foundation is not there, then we can try with all of our might to get where we want to go, to achieve the things we want to achieve, and yet still we're going to be just barely trudging through that sand and wondering why life seems so hard. And so here are some things that I pray we'll be able to focus on as a church as we look ahead into this year. And the first one of those is just to focus on the person and work of Christ himself. We need to really dig into this, that like for us as a church, as much as we love the sense of community and togetherness and all that we have when we live out our faith together, like that is a treasure, but it must be built upon this. That we know that God, who loves us, who made us in his own image, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to show us in human flesh what the kingdom of God looks like, to show us what righteousness and peace and justice and love look like, to demonstrate that to us, to live a perfect life and then to die as a perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be reconciled to God, so that we can have hope and life, not only now, but for all of eternity. We must focus in on him and what he has done, and that's what we're going to be doing for at least the next couple months or so. We're going to be starting a new series that we'll go through on Sunday and our Sunday celebrations, focusing on this message of the gospel and what are different pieces of that, what are different theological pieces like justification and sanctification and regeneration and adoption and so many different things that we're going to talk about. And talk about not just these ideas, but what difference that makes in our lives and how it gives us a foundation to stand upon. We're going to be digging into this because he is our foundation, he is our hope, and he has to be what everything is built upon. So that's where we're going to start. From there, another thing that I think we really need to dig into that's going to be super important for us is actually trusting in the Bible as God's word. And this is something I've just come to realize recently, that, you know, when I think when I came into our church, and this is now 22 years ago that I became a follower of Jesus, I got involved in our church here for the first time. For some of you who don't know, this is the only church I've ever been part of. And I remember back at that time, I came in incredibly skeptical and incredibly doubtful and just having, you know, every kind of question and skepticism toward the Bible. And I remember, like, at that time, like, I was just working through all those questions. I was reading like crazy, trying to dig into all of this. But I knew there were people around me who had, like, grown up in church all their lives and who had this incredible confidence that the Bible was God's word and this is how God speaks to us. Today, I feel like there's been a change. I feel like there are many of us here in this room. Maybe for some of you, you are newer believers, much like I was back at that time. I still kind of feel like a new believer. For some of you, that's where you're at. You're asking questions. You're trying to figure all this out. I think there are many of us here who have grown up in church maybe for your whole life or the majority of your life, and yet you're asking the same questions about the Bible today that I asked back then. And I think this is something that we want to really be able to focus on and say, what is it that we believe? Because if you go out into society around us, you realize there's actually nothing to believe in explicitly. If you go over into a university classroom, what you'll probably hear is something like, there is no truth except the truth that we make for ourselves. You'll hear that there is nothing that is objectively true, and all of it is just kind of whatever we decide on and make up for ourselves. You'll also hear things like, there is no uniting story for humanity. Everyone just has their own story, and everyone's story makes their own truth. And let me tell you, that is a description of what sinking sand looks like. That's it. Why are we so anxious? Why are we so uncertain? Why are we so fearful? Why are we so insecure? Because there is nothing, literally nothing, to stand upon. And for us, as followers of Jesus, we might even hear those things and start to question, wait, what is it that we believe in? And we need to come back to the scriptures this year and say, we believe that we actually have the truth, that we have the one unifying story of humanity. And yes, everyone has their story. Yes, everyone has their experiences. Yes, everyone has been through things and had their own life and had their own story. But it is all part of this great story that we see in scripture, because we we have a God who created us and created the whole world, the whole universe, and has a purpose for our lives that is especially found in the person of Jesus Christ, and that everything unites around that. We don't have to be people wandering around with only sand to try to build our lives upon, everything uncertain. We can actually build upon this. And this is so key, because if we're going to try to look to Christ as our foundation, well, you can't trust Christ if you can't trust his word. And so we need to dig into this. And I think for many of us, we need to start taking those questions more seriously and stop avoiding them. And stop pretending that we don't have questions, and stop pretending that we don't have doubts, and say, like, God, I want to bring this to you, I want to bring this to my spiritual family, and I want to wrestle with this to find out exactly what it is that the scriptures are and what it is that that God is speaking through them. We need to dig into that. Third thing I want to focus on this year and hope to see that our church grow in is mobilizing and equipping servants to build. You notice that in this passage, don't you? Paul says there's one foundation, Jesus Christ, but he says, I laid that foundation, now others are building upon it. And he says, you know, build on it. He says, take care how you build, but that building should happen. Like, think about it. Like, no one ever, like, lays a foundation and then just, like, leaves it there, right? Like, if you, like, all around Ann Arbor, you can see lots of new houses being built. Like, no builder goes and, like, builds a foundation and then says, okay, I guess we're done. No bother building anything on it. Man, that is a good foundation. I'm just going to keep that one for itself. I'm not going to build anything on it. No, that's a waste, right? That is wasteful. We would look at that and be like, why in the world would you do that? Jesus has given us this foundation. We've received it through his word. We have that there. Now, will we build upon it? And brothers and sisters, make no mistake, this is something we have to remind ourselves of all the time. It was very clear in our early church life before we bought this building, but church is not a building, church is the people of God, and that building happens by us. It happens when we take this foundation, we take the message of the gospel, we take God's word, and we say we are going to put that into practice. And I want to encourage all of us with that. Again, just maybe it's kind of emerging out of the pandemic. Maybe it's choosing to live for something greater than ourselves. Can we decide this year that we are going to take action and build together and live for something greater together? That's why we have, even for those of you who are already members of our church, we have Experiencing Ministry coming up next Sunday as a class you can take to learn about serving, to learn about how to get involved in our church. The week after that, we're going to have a ministry teams fair downstairs where you can meet the different ministry teams, ask them questions, find out about what they do. And we want to do that because we want all of us to be able to put into practice and build together on the foundation God has given us. Now, this is key. The way we build should be different than the way what we see in the world around us as well. Notice in this passage, Paul says, okay, you can build with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. What is he talking about with that? Well, the wood, the hay, the straw, the stuff that would be consumed by fire, that's the same thing that we see people building with in the world around us that we actually have to say no to. Like, just to give you a couple of examples, I think we just need to say no to the consumer culture that we live in. Where if we let that to be part of our church, then church turns into a spiritual business delivering spiritual goods and services for us to kind of come in and purchase through our offerings and then get what we want and go on our way. And that is not a picture of a church that I want to be a part of. And I hope it's not a picture of a church you want to be part of either. And yet that spirit is in us because it's out in the culture where everything is turned into a consumer product. Where everything becomes about me getting my needs met at the cheapest price possible and then going on my way. And you cannot be a spiritual family while trying to be a spiritual business. And so we need to be able to like really resolve this. We're not gonna build on consumerism. We're not gonna build on celebrity either. That's something you see so strong in our culture. So much is built on celebrity, built on the gifts or the skills or the charisma of one person or another. Many churches are built in that way. We need to say no to that. And some of you are like, yeah, that's not me. I wouldn't do that. But I know so many people who would say things like, you know, I really just don't get a lot out of this sermon or that sermon. I really I just want to listen to Tim Keller preach. Like, that's it. Like, when I listen to him preach, then I feel like I can connect with God. And I love Tim Keller, too. I do. But is your faith built on him? Is that the only way you can connect with God? Some of us, same thing, like worship time. Oh man, like you come here to worship together. I think we have an amazing worship team. I love them. They do a great job. But some of us are just like, man, I really need to sit down with that YouTube video. I need Chandler Moore to lead me. That's what, man, then I'm going to connect with God. Then I'm going to worship. And I feel more connected with God watching that YouTube video with that special worship leader than I do coming and worshiping with my church family. Do you realize how that culture of celebrity has infiltrated your heart? This is an issue. And that's hay, that's straw, that's going to burn up so quickly. And again, praise God for different people that God has called and gifted to lead in different ways in the body of Christ. Praise God. It's just that your faith can't be built on that. And our church can't be built on that. And I, for myself, I mean, you guys, if you know me, you probably know, like, I don't take myself that seriously. I pray nothing is built upon me or my personality, praise God. But that's even part of why last year we decided, hey, we're not going to just have, you know, a pastor-led church. We're going to have an elder-led church and try to build out that team. So it's not just about one or two people, but it's about a team of people leading together. That's why we're making decisions like that. So what do we build with? What's the gold, the silver, the precious stones? It's prayer, servanthood, generosity, commitment, speaking truth to each other even when it's hard, giving our lives away. For those who follow Jesus, right, this is the precious stuff. This is the good stuff. This is the good material that is going to stand on the day mentioned in this passage. I pray that we will put our faith into practice and build together this year. And that brings us to the last thing, I think, is repairing broken foundations. And I think for some of us, this is very much what we feel. Again, maybe you're newer to the faith. Maybe you've been a believer for 10 years, 20 years, longer. There might be things that you've gone through in your life. Maybe it's even because you've experienced things in the church that were built with hay and straw, and that affected you deeply. And you're wounded. Maybe it's not even anything in the church. Maybe it's some things you've gone through in your life. Maybe it's things that were said to you by people who you trusted and cared for. Maybe it could be all kinds of things. But for many of us, we have broken foundations in our lives that need to be repaired. And that's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy because those things take a while to uncover. It's not going to be easy because that takes a lot of trust to be able to open up our lives to each other, to share beneath the surface, to be able to even see what's going on. I think that takes a lot of prayer. Because you and I here, like we cannot fix each other at that level. But we can pray and trust God to do the work. We can speak truth to one another and trust God to be speaking. We can minister the love of Christ to one another and trust God to use that to heal and to restore. And this is something that I'm just praying that God will do in our church this year. It's probably not going to be right away. We're going to need to build up and get ready for that as we grow closer in our life groups, build closer relationships of trust and accountability as we grow and build up that foundation and start to build together, that God's going to prepare us to get deeper with one another. And I'm looking forward to doing that. You know, Many years ago, when I was growing up, I grew up in Houston, Texas, and I remember my family, I can't remember if it was just me and my dad or the rest of my family were there too. We were just driving through town one day. I don't know where we were going, but as we were driving through town, I think we stopped at a stoplight or something, and I looked out the side of the car, and I saw this house there that looked like it was in pretty rough condition. It was kind of falling, part of it was falling down, and I looked out, and there were these workers kind of all surrounding the house. And they all had, like, some of them had, like, big, like, 10-foot-long pry bars trying to actually, like, pry at the house. Some of them had these big hydraulic jacks that they were trying to put in place around the house. And I didn't know what any of it was, so I asked my dad. I said, Dad, what's going on there? And he said, oh, well, do you see how that part of that house has kind of fallen down on the corner? And do you see down at the bottom of it where the foundation is, how there's this big crack and it's kind of broken like that? Well, what those men are doing is they're actually putting in these jacks all around the house, and they're going to lift the whole house up off of it. And they're going to go under there, and they're going to tear out that broken foundation, and they're going to go under again, and they're going to pour a whole new foundation. And then they're going to set the house down, and they're going to rebuild that corner where it has collapsed. And I was like, wow, like, you can do that? Like, I thought you just have to tear down the house and start from scratch. But I for some reason, that picture just came to my mind recently. And I feel like this is something that God is wanting to do in our church and wanting to do in many of our lives. That He's wanting us to just come together and say, let's kind of lift up the curtain and see what's going on underneath. Let's see what's going on at a foundational level. Why it is that some of us feel like we're just standing on sand right now. Why it is that it seems, for some of us, we feel like we're just facing a lot of hopelessness right now. Why it is for many of us we're feeling so anxious, so doubtful, so fearful right now. Why it is that we're facing these things. Let's look underneath. Let's see what's there. And then let's trust God to actually repair, build that foundation of Jesus Christ where we can then begin to build upon and stand upon and live our lives upon for the glory of God. Because only Christ can heal and restore, and only Christ can save and transform. And I believe if we pursue this together this year, that it will not only be a good foundation for 1 year, but it'll actually be for many future years and future generations of our church further than we can see or know or understand. As we wrap up here, I have a couple next steps as we close out. The first is just, can you take some time to examine your foundation, even this morning? Take a moment to reflect and say, what actually am I standing upon? What do I deeply believe in and know is true and know that I can build my life upon? And for some of us, we might ask those questions and realize, I don't know what's there. And if that's the case, that's a great place to start. It's a great place to start to say, I actually don't know what my foundation is, because then at least you're seeing it. And you can start to explore, start to ask questions, start to dig in and say, I need something to build my life upon. For some of you, you may even be doing that for the first time. You may be someone who hasn't grown up in church, or you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're asking these questions, and maybe that's the place for you to start to say, I don't have a foundation for my life. I need to dig into this and explore, and you're welcome to do that together with all of us, many of whom are doing the same thing that you are. Even if you've been a believer for many years, we still need to examine and see, are there some cracks in that foundation that we need to identify and dig into? Second thing I want to encourage you with is to commit to the process. To commit to the process. And what I mean by that is that this kind of work is not quick or easy. It does not happen overnight. Again, that's what we're talking about, those agricultural relationships. We're going to need to walk through different seasons with one another. For some of us, things might get worse before they get better in terms of how you're doing, what you're feeling, what you're going through. You might have to dig into some questions that might actually be really, really hard. You might have to face some issues in your life that you're like, I just can't bear to face it. But that's why we need to commit to the process and do that together. When we come together to Christ and say, Jesus, we want you to do this work in our lives, there's strength in that. There's hope in that, that we're not alone, that God has given us a spiritual family to walk through the hard times, to walk through the deep valleys, to walk through dark places, and to know that God has surrounded us with people who are all love us and care for us, and that we can go through that together. That's why I would really encourage you. In fact, many years we go through this. Some people, they like go through a year of life group, and they finish the year with their life group. They're like, wow, that was the best life group ever. We were so close to each other. We love each other so much. God did such amazing things. It was great. And now you're starting a new year and you're starting a new life group and you're with different people and you're like, well, why isn't it like last year's life group? Why don't I feel so close to people? Why don't I have so much fun yet? Why am I not feeling like we can be so open and vulnerable yet? And that's because it takes time. But trust God with that. Commit to it and see what it is that He will do. And then thirdly, can we just resolve to build together? Say, we're doing this together. No individual person can do this. I can't do this. Just the elders can't do this. Just the other leaders of our church can't do this. This is something where we all need to build together. And part of that comes with basic things like just being able to pray for the person that you're sitting next to. Part of this comes through basic things like studying scripture in life group and really taking that seriously and asking tough questions and being there for each other. Part of that comes through serving in ministry teams or through other avenues, saying, I want to use my gifts and talents that God has given me to love and serve others and build up the body of Christ. But let's be resolved to build together, and I believe God is even going to use some of us to do that work of repairing broken foundations, to do that deep heart level work where lives are really transformed. So let's commit to that together. Can we stand together, and we'll spend some time in response this morning. As we stand, I invite you just to bow your head with me for a moment. And again, I shared that It's important to start with just examining the foundation. And before we kind of go into some time to worship and to pray and things like that, can I invite us just to take a moment with God? And as the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God." Can we pray that prayer to God this morning? And for some of us, that's a scary prayer to pray. Because you know there are things hidden beneath the surface. You know that there are doubts or fears or questions that you just don't even want to face or admit that you have. Maybe there are cracks in that foundation because what you've experienced in life doesn't seem to match up with the truth that we believe about Jesus. And for some of us, we have to face those things. Say, "God, come and search me and know me." And we can invite the Holy Spirit to do a work in us because this is ultimately what God is doing, not just what we do. This is God working in each of our lives. This is God speaking to us personally, intimately, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And if we can invite God this morning to say, "God, search me, examine my foundation," then can we open ourselves up to him and allow him just to shepherd us and guide us into those places that we will start to see where that foundation is just missing, or where that foundation needs to be repaired, or maybe we've been trying to build on something else entirely that's not going to last. As we invite God in this morning, I believe he is going to start a spiritual work in our lives that over the rest of this year and hopefully for many years to come, we'll begin to see the fruit of. He is going to be faithful with us from season to season. He is going to faithfully speak to us through his word. He is going to faithfully renovate our lives and dig out the broken things and replace it with new things. He's going to do a new thing in our lives. And so I want to give you just a moment to come to God that way and say, "Lord, will you please uncover these things in my heart and help me, Jesus, to discover you as the only foundation that can be built upon." God, I pray for that for every one of us here this morning, that as we seek you together, as you are speaking to us this morning, help us to receive with open hearts, to receive with open minds, to reflect and take in what it is that you're speaking right now. And we invite you, Spirit of God, to come and uncover things deep inside of us, to uncover areas where that foundation has been broken, to uncover areas, God, where we just don't have any foundation at all, to speak to us, God, and show us the areas where we've been placing our hope in something that's not going to last. God, would you come and do that mighty work in our hearts today? Come and speak to us now as we pray. In Jesus' name. You take a minute to do that, my sisters, my brothers, just seek God for a moment, and after that, we'll respond in worship and prayer. Let's pray together.